May I speak to you in the name of the living God. Well, Jesus knew how to make points with the crowd, didn't he? And just getting up and saying, well, basically, the scum of the earth are better than the likes of you. That feels good to say. I'm just quoting Jesus, of course. Who has a sense that something's not right? Anybody? Something's not right. I mean, you're being very non-committal here. How many people think everything is great with everything everywhere? John Dokas. He's in his own little bubble over there, so don't let him know that the rest of us are here. Most of us think something is wrong with something. And I know most of you think that because every week the wardens and I get together and one of us tells a story of one of you who has said that something's not right somewhere. It's a small town. There's no secrets around here. Something's not right somewhere. We just have to listen in the hallways or the parking lot. That godforsaken parking lot where the meeting happens after the meeting, you know? Or turn on the television. Any news broadcast, it doesn't matter. Somebody's mad at somebody for something. Whether it has to do with international relations or domestic agendas. Whether it has to do with secular or religious matters. Somebody's upset about something. And so we find ourselves asking the question sometime that who gave you the right to speak for me or to speak to me? When we're even less generous, we'll say something like, who died and put you in charge? You've heard it. You've said it, a good number of you. I have. Sounds very familiar. Who does she think she is? I was fussed at 8 o'clock because I said she and not he. I mean, you can't win. The same thing was asked of Jesus. By what authority are you doing these things? Who do you think you are coming into my temple and teaching whatever you're teaching? Well, something is wrong. Something is clearly wrong in many areas of our lives. People just don't get it. People just don't act the way they're supposed to act, or the way I think they should act, or you think they should act. As a Baptist minister friend of mine once said, people, they're just eat up with dumb. He was from the South, and so it carried a lot more emphasis. Eat up with it, he said. Eat up with dumb. I have another word for it. I call it terminal uniqueness. Terminal uniqueness. It's a phrase that comes out of the addiction and recovery world, and it refers to those who think, well, I'm different. I don't need to play by the rules of everyone else. I don't need to stop the behavior that is damaging to me. I can manage it my own way. I can do what I want to do, and it'll be all fine. That is called terminally unique. Unique because it's all about you, and terminal because it'll kill you. And maybe those around you. Terminal uniqueness is taking it all being about you all the time in all places. And it doesn't just kill you, it kills relationships and it kills communities. And you know why it's difficult to diagnose this disease called terminal uniqueness? You know why you can't see it when you begin to be infected by it? It's because it sneaks up on you. Uniqueness, it sneaks up on you. It was funny when I heard it. But once it infects you, once it's a part of you, you still don't know it. But you've just become a total jerk. And you know people like that. People who just discount other people for no good reason. And it happens all the time. Men do it to women. Whites do it to people of color. Wealthy people do it to poor folk. Groups do it. Communities do it. Nations do it. Birds and bees probably do it. And if we ever discover life on other planets, we'll do it to them. Unless they discover us first. Then they're terminally unique. And churches do it. We do it to other denominations and religious groups, thinking that we're somehow better than they are, smarter than they are. Just listen how we talk about other brothers and sisters of faith. Religious groups do it to other religious groups. And no matter that we've had 2,000 years of Christian history, we somehow today, right here and now, think that somehow we know a better way of doing something than what countless numbers of people have done before. We're the smartest, we're the brightest, and no one can teach us a thing. That's terminal uniqueness. And you see it all the time. All the time. I have either witnessed it or someone has told me about no fewer than 7 incidences of terminal uniqueness that have taken place in our beloved church this week. This week. Where someone felt put down, someone felt de-skilled, where someone felt shut down, somehow denied the right to offer their own opinion, discounted, or just ignored. Now, you could say, well, that's human nature. Everybody does that. But you know, I hope to hold the bar a little higher for God's people who live in community and who seek to bring about, to usher the kingdom of God into this world. St. Paul tells us, look not to your own interest, but to the interest of others. To the interest of others. We all come with an agenda to whatever it is that we're taking part in, be it a meeting or just a gathering. There's always something that we want out of that. We have mixed motives at best. And generally we think that it's been a good meeting, a good gathering, if our needs have to some degree been met. But what about the interests of others? Paul goes on to say, be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. How many times in our conversations with one another, or in a group, in a community, do we make sure that everyone has had an opportunity to be heard? And that whatever decisions might be made, at the end of the day, it's something that we can all buy into. Work out your own salvation, Paul tells us, with fear and trembling. That's not an invitation to just go off somewhere and figure it out all by yourself, but work out your own salvation, implying that it is not just a task, but it is something that requires your best efforts. Work out your own salvation with fear and with trembling, for it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for God's good pleasure. That means work together. That means whatever it is that you and I have to offer, we offer it with humility and with grace. And yes, we don't shy away from, we don't hold back the gifts that we have, but we are equally willing to receive the gifts of others. That is how we avoid terminal uniqueness. That is how we avoid having others say about us, he's just eat up with dumb. That is how we show people, both in the church and throughout the world, by whose authority that we dare speak. It is by the authority of God. Amen.